We like to talk to Sam Bradshaw from Sikkim 365. He's already had, I'm looking at part two right now. Sam has been breaking down TCU. Right now, Sam, I'm kind of going over TCU's run defense, but I want you to give us kind of a general overview, the 4-2-5 that Baylor will encounter. I know one thing is you talk about how it frees up a lot of bodies. They seem to cover the gaps really well. What is it, when you really break it down, though, over all these years, I just saw it voted recently, Patterson as the second-best defensive coach in the country, maybe right behind Nick Saban at Alabama. What is it about Gary that's made, even when he's got a down season like he has right now, what is it about his philosophy and his overall approach that has made the TCU defense so successful?
Well, Matt, thanks for having me on. His system is a 4-2-5 with four down linemen, two linebackers, and five defensive backs. And the thing that's made it so good over so many years is it's a very adaptable system that's easy for them to teach to their players, and they can do a lot of different things with it. And they actually divide their coverage calls into halves of the field. So to the left half of the field, they'll have their free safety making the coverage call for their strong safety and one of their linebackers and a corner on that side. The weak safety will make the call for the other side. So they can mix and match, keep it relatively simple for either side of the field because there's only so many ways you can line up to a half of the field. So for them, they're able to be multiple but keep it simple. It's a lot more for the offense to deal with. And then they've also just done it for a long time. They know exactly what they're looking for in each of their positions. I mean, at the FBS level, they've been doing it ever since the mid-90s at New Mexico, even before he followed Franchione over to TCU and rebuilt that program. So they know exactly what they want from their rush ends. They know exactly what they want from their defensive tackles. They know athletically what trade-offs they can make and still be sound in their system.
All right, Sam, when we look at their personnel, one of the players that Rule talked about was Ross Blaylock. He's obviously somebody that's really been good for them at 6'4", 305 pounds. Now, they line him up, plays nose tackle. What is it about him as we start to look at some of this personnel that makes him such a handful?
Well, most years TCU has some pretty good, quicker, not necessarily overwhelmingly big defensive tackle personnel. Blacklock's a guy that has both. He's a guy that can really mix it up in there and could probably fit in a lot more schemes than a lot of the TCU guys typically have. He could probably fit in a scheme like Baylor's, where they ask him to two-gap a lot more, whereas a lot of the TCU's guys may not necessarily be that much of a war daddy and able to win in a phone booth that way. But Ross Blacklock is probably one of the best defensive tackles they've had over his entire tenure there, which is saying something when it spans over two decades when you include his time as defensive coordinator. But they got a number of guys on that defense that can really play. I really like what they got from their corners. Their safeties are typically athletic, and their linebacker, Wallow, runs really well and is very instinctive.
Yeah, it's certainly those linebackers, they always have somebody back there that really brings it. They've had some really impressive in that 4-2-5 look you've talked about. We do have our resident Frog, who provides a lot of insight. Boy, you should have heard Sam, the stuff he had on quarterback earlier. My goodness. I mean, the TCU, I don't know if you've heard TCU, I know you have, having some monster issues in their quarterback room right now. It is Sam Bradshaw, our resident X's and O's expert, looks at a lot of film for Sikkim 365. It's a great site. And you can get on there. They got some great deals right now, especially that premium group. That's where Sam's stuff is behind a paywall, but it's very much worth the money. Here is Stephen Simcox.
Sam, last year, TCU was able to get a lot of disruption with their ends, with L.J. Collier and Ben Banigou. Now that those guys are in the NFL, they've really seemed to struggle at that position this year. Do you see kind of a weakness there with O'Shawn Mathis and Shamik Blackshear that the Baylor could possibly exploit on the edges on Saturday?
I don't know if I'd necessarily call it a weakness. I think I'd more just say they're not exceptional the way they were last year. Because not only did you have Banigou and Collier last year that were top 50 NFL draft picks this past spring, but you also had Ty Summers rotating in, and he would sometimes be at linebacker, sometimes they'd spin him down to defensive end, and he was an NFL draft pick. And then they also had a fifth-year senior who was a JC transfer, started out at SMU, who rounded out the rotation. So they're basically brand new there. And outside of Wallow, who spent half of last year at linebacker and half of last year at strong safety, they really are starting over at linebacker as well. I think you got a lot of guys that will be good there eventually, but I think they're taking some lumps there, as tends to happen when you have some young guys in there.
You know, to me, Charlie cannot have the Tech game, you know, against this defense. You cannot. He ran into some troubles against Texas Tech and threw them the ball. Was that three-interception game? I think that was the really rough one. And certainly, Mooring's a guy you talked about in your most recent report on Sikkim 365. And that guy really is kind of a roving safety back there, makes a lot of plays. Even as a freshman, I think he made one of the interceptions against Baylor last year, something Charlie's going to have to watch out for. It's going to be fascinating. Look at, real quick for me, Sam, the other side of the ball. Why is Rager is somebody that, he's got NFL potential, certainly, even as he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he can still go up in a high point of football, and he's got elite speed, got breakaway speed that should allow him to make an NFL roster someday. What is it, just the quarterback's fault? Would you say it's the scheme, it's the offensive coordinator? Why has Rager not had the year we all expected him to have this season?
Well, I think he's kind of had 2 years this year. If you look at his numbers over the first four games and then his numbers over the most recent four games, the first four games where you had Duggan rotating with Delton and Duggan was very young and still developing, that would have projected for like a 300 to 400-yard season if you span that out over a 12-game season. The last four are projecting over 1,000 yards and 16 yards per reception. So I think as the quarterback situation has matured, I think Rager has gotten back to his usual self.
All right, so Rager's kind of doing his thing. Obviously, their running game, they've got kind of a now two- or three-headed monster there. This Baylor secondary, I know Houston's been a little banged up. Miller is out this game because he keeps getting kicked out of games, and finally, if you get three of them targeting penalties, you miss a whole game. Where is Baylor's personnel? Because at some point, no matter who TCU has at quarterback, they are going to try to challenge Baylor on the back end of that defense. Baylor's shown some good depth, but walk us through a little bit of the personnel right now, issues that Baylor's having back there in the secondary, and who do you kind of see needing to step up in this game?
I think you'll see Raleigh Tejada and Kalen Barnes really have to step up at corner. And then at safety, it's really sad to say, considering he's missed so much time, but between Jaron McVay and JT Woods, and probably getting a little more of Christian Morgan into the mix now that he's healthy, it shouldn't be too different at safety than what they've had to deal with the last few weeks when Miller's been out. So I don't think they're necessarily scraping the bottom of the barrel, but you really don't want to give Jalen Rager one-on-one, and I don't really think Baylor's going to do that very often. I think they'll push coverage to him. They'll try and keep TCU in front of them and try and manage that running game with their down linemen if they can.
Yeah, Sam, sorry, Matt. Sam, that's what I wanted to ask you about was that TCU O-line. I know Lucas Niang is now out, but they've had a lot of success running the football. What do you think of that matchup, that O-line versus the Baylor front seven?
I think it's the matchup to watch when TCU has the ball. That offensive line for TCU returns most of everybody they had from last year. I mean, they obviously lost Niang, and they graduated one starter off of it last year, but they had some solid depth, even before they lost Niang. And that's really the unit that won them the Cheez-It Bowl, where there were how many turnovers. But eventually, against a good Cal defense, they were able to get things going on the ground and set up the winning score. And that's a running game that's quietly been one of the more productive ones in the Big 12. And stopping that is going to be critical for Baylor. And doing so in a way that doesn't leave them open for Jalen Reagor on a screen or leaves him in one-on-one will be critical as well.
You were so right. That screen game, I've got nightmares over the years of some of those quick screens that TCU does. They're good at getting the blockers out, whether it be the wide receivers or getting their linemen. They generally tend to be pretty mobile guys, and then they really execute well out on the side. I don't know if you – did you see the Sam, did you see Gary get mad at his offensive coordinator the other day? I know it happens. It's not the only time a head coach is going to do that, but my goodness. I didn't think – I thought he might not be able to ride the charter back to Fort Worth. That was a little ugly between him and Sonny Cumbie. Are you seeing anything from Cumbie? I mean, with the quarterback situation being compromised this season, Sam, anything – has he done anything differently? Has there been even more stress on the running game than in the past? What is Cumbie showing you in terms of tendencies this season?
Well, I think TCU's tried to keep things somewhat buttoned up, at least through the early part of the year, until they opened it up a little more over the last couple weeks. They obviously, with Delton being more of a run-first guy and then Duggan being a freshman, I got the feeling they realize they've got a good defense, they've got a good offensive line, and they don't want to do something that puts them into a bad spot. That was a big issue with some of the guys they had at quarterback last year. Just turning the ball over really caught up to them for most of the year. And I think maybe they were just a little gun-shy on that, but it did seem like they were trying to keep some of the offense buttoned up until they felt like Duggan got a little more comfortable.
All right. Hey, watch for this. I predict that Gary is going to tell Sonny to wildcat this thing up. And I think you remember how Baylor finally decided a few years ago to just let Lynx try to beat Texas and just run the ball. And they almost came back and beat Texas that year when they didn't have anybody that could throw the football because everybody was injured. I think you could see something similar here. So just remember, Sam, when you watch them go crazy with this Wildcat on Saturday, just remember, you know, Mosley tipped you off on it, okay?
I have a feeling we're going to see a ton of that. They actually lined up in somewhat of a Wildcat look last year on the reverse play that they took to the house with Reagor. It was a 4th-and-1, so everybody was committed to stopping the run, and everybody just sucked in, and Reagor was gone.
Yeah, I've got bad visions of that game that set college football back. The only reason that game is not remembered is because the Cheez-It Bowl was so historically bad from an offensive standpoint. That game helped erase what was a horrific Baylor-TCU game where somebody named Muhlenbach had to come in there and lead the Frogs to victory. Baylor needs to avenge that thing on Saturday. Sam, get back to work, buddy. I know you got a busy, busy schedule, and I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. Our listeners really enjoy it, so I appreciate it, sir.
Thanks for having me on.